Let's stand up. God is good. Take a stand for the Lord, please. Hey, title of my message today is Don't Give Your Best to Satan. Jump off the beast. Jump off the beast. My picture is somebody jumping from a fire because you don't want to go down with the building. This word that we're about to read that means branch means is pronounced boughs. Boughs. So let's read 2 Samuel 18. Let's begin. And Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth, and the mule that was under him went away. Father, we do pray that you will bless the preaching of thy word. God, revive us. Give us what we need. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. God does have what we need in this book, and he has what we need in his church and in the preaching of the word of God. There's a great old sermon from Lester Roloff in 1969. Lester Roloff always stepped on toes. He was mostly an evangelist, not a pastor per se. So he could ruffle all the feathers and then fly off into the sunset to the next destination. And in that sermon that he gave in 1969... I reckon he blasted just about everything he knew was bringing destruction and ugliness. I wish more would have listened. We might be in a different situation right now. Christians are the light of the world. And if they'd shine their light, who knows what can happen in the nation. He blasted TV. He blasted the hippie movement. He blasted women hiding their true beauty with makeup as all the men screamed amen on that one. God has so many natural ways to bless your face and make it shine. And you don't have to go man's way. In that sermon, he was discussing one of the fathers of the hippies, and that's Absalom. Absalom rebelled against his father, David, who was the king. Absalom usurped the throne of his father. David fled to the wilderness. His men were willing to fight, but he said, no, we just need to get out of here. Absalom had an agenda to find his father and kill him. That's how wicked he was. Absalom had long, thick hair. He's very proud of. Well, David finally sent his generals to reclaim the throne. Absalom's supporters were defeated. And Absalom fled on his mule. And as his mule took off, I guess in the woods, his mule ran under a tree. And Absalom's head, which included his thick, long hair, got stuck in the branches of that tree. And the mule just kept on going, but Absalom was stuck, hung up in that tree by the things he was most proud of. His handsome head and his pretty feminine hair. So Roloff titled the message in 1969, The Mule Walked On. He quoted a very old preacher, or an older preacher that wasn't very educated. He was wise in the things of God, but didn't have much public schooling. The old preacher said something to the effect of, he should have jumped off the mule. I was thinking about that a little while. If what you're standing on or riding on is going over a cliff to destruction, you better jump out. If you can't control something and you see that you're headed for danger, you got to bail out. Jump off the mule. I watched Brother Ramon moving around like an acrobat on the walls and the trusses, and when something happened to the ladder or the scaffolding and he knew he was going down, he jumped. And he caught hold. I guess, Jeremy, you saw that? He caught hold to the trusses and was just hanging up there. Praise God, he had the wisdom to not go down with the scaffolding. You know, if what you're riding on is headed to destruction, jump. Get off. Now, I've spent many sermons teaching young people, pleading with young people and old people to stay rooted, stay planted in the house of God, in the service of God. Don't jump ship. And in these messages, I'm talking about people like the prodigal and people who wander around, people who are unstable. They can't ever stay put, stay rooted. They've been that way their whole life. When they come into the local church, nothing changes unless God gets a hold of them. So they end up leaving the safety and holy place the Lord has for them. And they jump right into destruction. They jump ship right into turbulent waters with sharks. They jump into the cesspool of instability and distractions, just wasting precious time. But today I'm dealing with those who are riding sin. They're on a path of destruction. They need to jump ship off the ship they're on. Get back where they're supposed to be. They need to get off the bus. They need to jump off the mule. Man, I tell you, that's what I did. Playing in rock and roll bands and being involved in that world. As a kid, I've jumped off many a horse. You stay on, you try to stay on to train your horse, but there are times when you have to dismount. When I saw where the horse that I was on was heading, when I began to really see what rock and roll, or whatever you want to call it today, when I really saw what it was about, when I heard a famous rock singer say, when you see that long-haired lead singer, he's the androgynous witch doctor. That's why he looks feminine, and that's why they wear female shirts. That's why they have long hair. That's why he sings that way, where he's half man, half woman. You know, it's Baphomet. I said, you got to be kidding me. That all makes sense now. Everybody's embracing homosexuality around you, and you realize, man, what bus am I on? And then you started hearing rock bands, as I've mentioned before, say we're all awaiting the coming of the Antichrist. And I tell you what, the book of Revelation, things started coming to my mind, and I said, this stuff's starting to be fulfilled. It says in the Bible, the whole world will worship the beast, worship Satan. So I changed trains. I'd seen enough damage in my own life. I jumped off that mule. As an equestrian camp counselor when I was young, we had a couple of ponies, but the camp had mostly large horses. But I'd have kids who always wanted to ride a little pony named Jojo, and he was cute. But he was a stubborn mess, like ponies tend to be. His favorite thing was to take whatever kid was on him into the woods, run up under a tree branch and knock him right out of the saddle. And Jojo was good at that. He had practiced it week after week after week, always with a different kid, always with somebody unsuspecting. And he had a talent for that. So So you had to teach the kid. He only had 5 days to practice it. Try not to let him do that. So my title is this: Don't Give Satan Your Best, Jump Off the Beast. Don't let him, I mean, duck if you have to. Don't let him just knock you right off or get you hung up in a tree somewhere, break your neck. There are two examples I want to share with you today. Two main Bible characters. I want to put before you Absalom, which we just read about. And I want to put before you Ahithophel, the advisor of Absalom. Turn it up over this wind a little bit. Both of these men, thank you, my dear brother. Both of these men rode a beast to their own destruction. They rode it proverbially, figuratively, as well as literally. We saw Absalom's mule. Now I want you to notice Ahithophel's ass. It says in 2 Samuel 17, and when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass. And he arose and got him home to his house, to his city, put his household in order, and hanged himself and died and was buried in the sepulcher of his father. His buddy Absalom rode a mule to destruction. Ahithophel rode his ass to destruction. He should have jumped off that ass and went back and repented. Repented to God, repented to David, who he betrayed. But he rode his ass to destruction. Absalom should have fell on his face and repented. Instead, he rode his mule to destruction. What do these beasts, these asses and mules, represent? They represent yourself. They represent the selfish way you're going. They represent Satan. They represent this world, the spirit of Antichrist, which is rebellion. There's a way that seemeth right to a man, oh, but it ends in death. There's this selfish way. We see it with the counterfeit church, this city of Rome, with that feminist, whorish church that's there. And it says, he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast. She better jump off of it. She better jump off and repent, but she's not going to do it. She's going to stay on, and that beast is going to take her to her own destruction. Full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. She stays on the beast. And what happens? The 10 horns, which are part of the beast, which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. God destroys that wicked city. He's going to. He destroys the system, the pagan religion that's there. This beast is the final New World Order, Satan's final kingdom. It represents Satan's final king as well as the kingdom, the Antichrist who's coming. He's likely already alive today somewhere in the world. Not revealed yet, at least not as his final personality. But one thing's for certain, his spirit is in the world right now. His spirit has been in the world for centuries. It's the spirit of rebellion, the spirit of Antichrist. And the question today is, what spirit are you of? Are you trying to mingle the Holy Spirit and this other spirit? The spirit of rebellion, the spirit of self. Because if you're riding self, you're on your way to destruction. Spirit of rebellion, spirit of distraction, spirit of self-pity. Man, I tell you what, God has in the Bible what you need. So the devil's goal is to get you away from preaching. The devil's goal is to get you away from accountability. So he can get you on these mules and these asses and have you ride them right over the cliff, man. A lot of people can realize, but it might be too late. The mule might be going too fast. That old ass might be going too fast. But you say it's too late now, but you know where it's headed. You know where it's heading. You better get off. You better do whatever you can to get off that thing. And online, there's some Tennessee boy, and he has a black friend, and he's on some boat somewhere, and all of a sudden, there's a waterfall. And his friend's trying to tell him, it's going down. And he acted like he didn't see it. He says, no, no, it's all right. We don't got to worry about it. And that poor fella just kept saying, we're going down. It's going down. And hey, at least he knew, we got to get off this thing. We got to get off. The devil don't care what mule of self you ride. Distraction, self-pity, rebellion. Long as you stay on it. So you can be neutralized. So your gifts, your talent, everything the Holy Spirit gave you as a Christian, all the things you were born with naturally, all your money, all your time, all your abilities. He doesn't care if it's the mule of self-pity, the mule of offense, you got offended, the mule of rebellion. He doesn't care, long as you stay on that mule. Remember when you were young, playing a ball game, kickball, or something like that. Remember, there's always one kid sometimes that's a whiner, self-pity. He doesn't get his way exactly. Maybe he's losing, or who knows what. But that kid goes over there and he sits and sulks by a tree. He doesn't get to enjoy the game. Everybody, please, why don't you come on back and play, you know? But no, he's going to go over there and sulk. Self-pity has neutralized him. Now his own team doesn't get the blessing of whatever his gifts were. And some people grow up like that. They're still that kid. Only it's not a kickball game, it's church. It's not a kickball game. It's the Lord's ministry. It's important that we are where we are supposed to be and we stay planted where we're supposed to be and we stay active, we stay engaged, and we give our talent, we give our gifts, we give our funds and our time and our energy until the Lord blows the whistle, blows the trumpet. The Lord said, whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation? And to what are they like? They are likened to children sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another and saying, we've piped unto you and you have not danced. We have mourned to you and you have not wept. In other words, we have some games we're playing here and you're not participating in my game. And so now my feelings are hurt. Now I'm upset. Now I'm offended. And the Lord is saying that's what that generation is like. And we're in the last days now when perilous times shall come. Imagine what we're dealing with now when they shall be lovers of self. They were already lovers of themselves in that generation. What are they now? Boy, the devil's got something for you to ride, friend. And it's all about whatever you think the reason is. It's all about neutralizing you. It's all about wrapping you up in your own little world where your money can burn, your time can burn, your gifts can burn, and you give everything that you've got to Satan You give Satan your best. You give this world that's going to burn and evaporate like a vapor. You're giving that to Satan, to this world, your best. Don't allow Satan to trick you. Don't allow Satan to take you out of the game. Don't allow Satan to divert you. I don't know what you, well, I know a lot of what your gifts and talents are. To some degree, we know what each other's opportunities and abilities are. And it's important that we use our gifts and abilities, natural and spiritual, for God and His church. You got to use everything that He's entrusted to you, your talent, your money, your time, your opportunities. And then there's others that can help you because you have certain gifts. And so others come in and they say, you know what? I can help you be a blessing even more than you already are. As somebody can help you be a blessing. And you help somebody else be a blessing. Matthew 25, our Lord said, the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. That's all the truth, all the understanding, all the money, all the time, all your gifts. Everything is to be devoted unto God. All your knowledge, all your light. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability. That's every single man has something to offer God's kingdom, God's church. And straightway took his journey. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Boy, that's dangerous right there. Reckoneth with them. That means he holds us accountable. Every single Christian, for how you used your time, how you used your money, how you used your opportunities, how you used your talents, how you used your natural talents, how you used your supernatural talents that he gives you, your spiritual gifts. It says in Corinthians that now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Hey, he said, you better have a profit. You better do something with what I've given you. Every man and woman is what it means is to take what God has given them and make a profit. Use it for God. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Some have natural talents and diversities of spiritual gifts. What are they all for? Ephesians says, from whom the whole body, that's the local church, fitly joined together and compacted by that which, listen here, every joint supplieth. That's every joint supplieth. That's every single person in that body. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, there's not a person missing that's saved in a part of that church that doesn't have the ability entrusted to him by God to edify and build up that church. Maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The body, through God's Spirit, is self-edifying, self-building. You got to go out and add people to the body, but that body needs to be built up. That body needs to be growing more and more and more towards God. So we know that we ought to use what we've been given. Amen. We ought to use what we've been given so we can gain more. Hey, you use your money for the Lord, He might entrust you with more. That is a biblical principle in the Bible. You use your time. You use what God has given you and He gives you more opportunities. He opens more doors for you. Because you're using as a good steward what he's entrusted to your hand. So the devil's job with all of these principalities and spirits, all these principalities say they got one job, and that job is to neutralize you so you do not edify the church you're called to be in. Distract you and waste year after year after year till he destroys you. Don't let Satan steal your crown. Don't let anybody steal your talents. Don't divert what should be God's to this world or to Satan or to self. Don't let him take you out. Don't let him distract you. Oh, he's going to do it. He's going to try. Luke 7, the Lord said to John the Baptist and to all of us, blessed is he who whosoever shall not be offended in me. You're going to go through things. People might mistreat you. You might get mad at God. You might not understand what's going on. And I'm telling you, don't get offended in the Lord. He's saying, don't get your feelings hurt so bad. Don't get stumbled to where you say, I'm not going to church. I'm not going to serve God. Because the flesh is always looking for a good excuse. That flesh is saying, boy, I wish somebody would make me mad so I can get out in the world and do what I want. Boy, I wish I can claim I was mistreated somehow or another so I can get out in the world and do what I want and have a good justification. What about this? Mark chapter 4, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. So it does not matter whether you get offended, whether you get distracted, or, as he says here, the cares of the world, the lust of other things choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. God has given unto everybody gifts and talents and opportunities and money and time and spiritual gifts. And God wants you to use them for his glory. You watch out for Satan's mules that he wants you to get on. Like Absalom. You watch out for Satan's asses that he wants you to ride to your own destruction. You better get off that mule. You better get off that ass. Don't go over a cliff. Don't get your head stuck up in a tree somewhere. What is one of the one principal ways that Satan is going to take you out? He will have you ride the mule or ass of pride right off a cliff. It's so easy for him to tempt us toward pride. So you get puffed up. And when you get puffed up, then it's all about you. The Lord said, as we saw, they're like children in the marketplace. I'm paraphrasing, but they're whining and they're upset with each other. He said, that's what this generation is like. We know in Proverbs it says, pride goeth before destruction. That is, if you end up in destruction, it was because usually you were proud. And a haughty spirit before a fall. If you fall, usually it's because of a haughty spirit. In fact, you're to be careful with somebody that's inexperienced, putting them in a very, very serious place, such as a pastor, because it says, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. He needs to have gone through some life experience so he's able to deal with things and not get puffed up. What's the condemnation of the devil? Lucifer was the mightiest celestial being that God had created. And the Bible says that he looked at his own wisdom and he looked at his own beauty and says, man, I'm glorious. I am glorious. He says in Ezekiel 28, thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. He says, I'm so much better than all these other angels and creatures. So the devil jumped on a mule, if so to speak, and rode that mule of selfish pride right to destruction. Now let's take a brief look at Absalom and Ahithophel in the Bible, okay? It says in 2 Samuel 14, but in all Israel there was none to be so much praised as Absalom for his beauty. Sounds like the devil, doesn't it? Sounds like Lucifer, at least, before he fell. From the sole of his foot, even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. And when he polled his head, or it was at every year's end that he polled it, and sometimes the word poll means to just trim it, trim the ends of it. The point is he let that hair grow long where everybody could see it, and then he made a big end of the year presentation so everybody could see how heavy the hair that he cut off was. Because the hair was heavy on him, therefore he pulled it and he weighed the hair of his head at 200 shekels after the king's weight. He appeared to make a show of it. Now, how did Absalom use the fact that he was handsome? How did he use his personality? His appearance. He used it for selfish ends. He used it for selfish. How are you using what God gave you? How are you using your talents? The blessings that you have that other people might not have. Now, we need to be reasonable about whatever God's given us. You need to be reasonable. You don't want to boast. But it's also not wrong to say, you know what? I know this is something I like to do and I can do. And I'm going to tell you something. You got to watch out for Satan because he is going to come along and try to neutralize you so you will not help his church and you will get distracted somewhere serving the world. Serving your own agenda. Serving self. I want to keep stressing that. I tell you what, I don't know everything I have or everything I'm good at, but I'm going to tell you, I want to use everything that I can do, every opportunity, whether it's two talents, one talent, whatever it is, I want to use it for God. But we have to know Satan's going to try to keep us from doing that. He's going to get you self-pitying, get you offended, get you selfish. We need to pray for boldness. I noticed as a kid that I had some boldness. And I began to use that. For my own glory, my own sport. Other things the Lord gave me, I began to use for this world. I praise God I jumped off those mules. I praise God I jumped off those asses. I praise God that I didn't ride it to absolute destruction. No, Absalom used everything that he was given, all his opportunities, his beauty, everything that he has, he used for himself. That's the mule he was riding. And it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. Everything he did was this great pomp and glory, see? And people like people like that. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, "Of what city art thou?" And he said, "Thy servant is one of the tribes of Israel." And Absalom said, "Moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice." He's implying, David sure is busy. Boy, my father sure is busy. He's not really taking care of you, is he? Boy, if I was the king, I'd take care of you. And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. I remember a man that ended up a pervert, and I tell you what, he had to be in the middle of everything. In the middle of everything. And he's always stirring up, making trouble for me. Just by the time he got a hold of it, it was in such a mess. And he that's what he liked to do. He liked to be in the middle of everything, see. And that's different from trying to help and trying to be good. And you know a faithful man. You know who a faithful man is. You know a pastor knows a faithful man. It's a blessing to help and to get involved. But there's also deceitful people like Absalom, traitors, and they have an agenda, and they want to be in the center of everything. He stole the hearts of the men of Israel. But Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, "As soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron." And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, that's our other fella, the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Gilo, which he offered while he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. More and more fell away. More and more fell away. David's left with just the most faithful of all. Even his faithful counselor has now gone to Absalom. And there came a messenger to David saying, "The hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom." David's faithful men said, "Let's fight to the death." David said, "No, we got to get out of here, man. It's better right now that we just get out of here and go into wilderness." Now we know how it ends for Absalom. We saw it. How does it end? David rises up. His generals go after Absalom. They defeat, even though they're in the minority, they defeat that whole army, enough of it. And Absalom ends up riding his mule off into the woods somewhere, and that long, pretty hair and his handsome head, that mule, running right into a branch, and he got stuck, hanged, hung up there in the tree. And then they come along, Joab, and puts three darts in his heart. And they kill him. That's how it ended for Absalom. Instead of serving God as an obedient son, helping his father, he rebels and seeks to kill his father. He rides a mule of pride like Lucifer did. He became puffed up, and that mule led to his destruction, and his very head and hair, which he gloried in, killed him. As the old uneducated preacher said, he should have jumped off that mule. Man, not just a literal mule, a figurative mule. Now, what about this other fella, Ahithophel? Absalom rode his mule of pride to destruction. Also a literal mule. He rode it. He didn't jump off of it. Got his stuck up in a tree. Got his head stuck up in a tree. But one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. Oh, this is amazing. That was David's chief counselor, his right-hand man. And David said, Oh, Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshiped God, behold, Hushai, the Archite. Now, this is a wise man. In fact, I'll show you here in a few minutes that old Hushai probably should have been the chief counselor. But he played second fiddle to Ahithophel. But he was faithful right to the end. He seems to be an elderly man. Everybody's turning now, trying to make Google God. They're trying to make AI God, you know what I mean? You got Hush AI, how about that? Hush AI, the Archite. He's smart, see, he's going to tell you the real truth. I got corny jokes, it doesn't matter. I'm just trying to keep your attention here. I'm going to tell you something about Hushai. He came to meet with him, with his coat rent and earth upon his head, unto whom David said, If thou passest on with me, thou shalt be a burden unto me. Praise God for faithful Hushai, man. He was going to be with David out in the wilderness, you know. No place to lay your head. But if thou return to the city and say unto Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been thy father's servant hitherto, so will I now also be thy servant. Then mayest thou for me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. So David says, I got a better plan. You go and tell Absalom that you are turning against me like everybody else, and you want to be his counselor. And now Absalom will have two counselors. And what you can do is be my spy, but not only that. If Ahithophel ever gives counsel that will end up hurting me, then give him alternate counsel in a way that you know Absalom's pride will receive it. It says in 2 Samuel 16, the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracles of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. I mean, this man, Ahithophel, you reckon he got proud of that? He obviously had some wisdom, some discernment, some strategy. Isn't it sad when Lucifer, with all his wisdom, turns it against God and then uses that wisdom? Oh, he's not going to be wiser than God. The devil's going to go down to hell. Michael the archangel will throw him down there. I'm just showing how your gifts can turn to pride. The things that you are to use for God can end up being your destruction. This man was wise. He's so wise that they almost put him as equal to the Bible. But he let that go to his head. And Ahithophel was the king's counselor. And Hushai, the Archite, was the king's companion. He was close, but kind of looked over when it came to counsel. Hushai could have been bitter about that. Instead, right there to the end, wherever God had him, wherever God wanted him to be, whatever place God gave him, he's going to be faithful. David says, I know you'll follow me out into the wilderness, but buddy, I just need you to be my spy. I need you to go do this work for me. I need you to be undercover for me. And it came to pass when Hushai the Archite, David's friend, was come unto Absalom, that Hushai said unto Absalom, God save the king. God save the king. Now you know what Hushai was saying in his mind. He's talking about David. God save David. God save David. But Absalom thinks he's talking about him, and that's how Hushai intended it. And Absalom said unto Hushai, is this thy kindness to thy friend? Why wentest thou not with thy friend? Oh, this is very, very serious right here. Hushai said unto Absalom, nay, but whom the Lord and this people and all the men of Israel choose, his will I be, and with him will I abide. He makes him say, well, God has spoken. You're obviously in power. So I believe that you have the divine right. God is with you. And Absalom bought it. Boy, he's skillful, isn't he? He's skillful. Boy, you don't tell me Hushai had some strategy. I tell you what. So, what happens next is Absalom asks Ahithophel for counsel. Now, Ahithophel's thinking, see, he's very strategic. He's thinking, man, if we get down the road here and David and Absalom reunite together and reconcile, they're going to execute me. I'll be the first one dead. So he says, I have to do something quickly. So he tells Absalom, here's my counsel to you. Take David's concubines and rape them in the sight of all of Israel. And he does so. So now Ahithophel can be satisfied that I don't think daddy and son will ever get back together now. I'm safe. Absalom then says, okay, now, what about war strategy? Ahithophel says, I tell you what, let me gather together 12,000 men and go quickly, and I'll smite David right now in the wilderness. While he's weak, while he's unorganized, disorganized. Now Hushai has to move quickly. Absalom says, well, what do you say about the matter, Hushai? He says, I don't think that'll work. You know your father. He's not going to be with the people. He's right now hiding in some pit somewhere, away from the people, and he's angry. It's going to backfire. You send these 12,000 men, it's going to backfire. What you need to do is go out in full array, and you, Absalom, need to go with them. That will encourage everybody, because I'm going to tell you what, you get out here with those 12,000 men, David might turn those 12,000 men to fight for him. Who knows? So you gather together all of Israel. You go out with them. And you will smite him. Boy, I tell you what. Absalom's pride like that. That sounded good to his pride. Even though it was stupid, it sounded good to his pride. Hushai knew how to speak to this man's pride and manipulate him. So Absalom said, okay, we reject the counsel now of Ahithophel. Now watch it. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order, and hanged himself, and died, and was buried in the sepulcher of his father. He rode an ass to his own suicide, to his own destruction. Why do you think he did that? Pride. He could not stand somebody else. Their counsel was chosen over his. The more pride a man has, the more it hurts him if he feels he's skipped over. I'm going to tell you what. Ahithophel rode that ass of pride to his destruction. Just as Absalom rode that mule of pride to get hung up in a tree with his pretty boy hair to his own destruction. And I wonder what mule or ass the devil is tempting you to ride. So your gifts, your talents, your time, your opportunities, everything God's put into your hand will not be used for God's church. The Bible said Jesus died for his church. He loves the institution of the local church. It's his idea. It's his plan. You might have many organizations in this world, but God's church is his organization, his organism, his way. We're meant to be social creatures. We're meant to be a body. Because there's people in that body, as we've already seen, that can make your gifts work to their fullest. And you've got the ability to take some people, and when you get around them, you're able to turn their gifts on like nobody else. And that's how a body works, see. Sometimes Moses' hands have to be lifted up. And to some degree, everybody has a place and things they need to do to serve. Ahithophel's pride killed him. He used his gifts for sin and treachery and rebellion. I tell you, when you got great gifts and abilities and opportunities and money, maybe it can lead to pride. Makes you blind. You run off the holy path to destruction. So here's a question. Can you be prospered and stay humble? Can God begin to use your gifts? And people begin to say, you know what, thank you. Thank you for being a blessing. Can you continue to stay humble so God can continue to use you? Not many people can. With God, all things is possible. But our Lord says, you give a man money, you'll have them widows. All through the Bible, they give everything they have. But you let a man get money. He says, boy, I can't wait till God blesses me. When I get money, I'm going to bless the church. Man, you won't believe it. And there are some that can do that and do that. But a lot of times what happens is, as that man gets money, he starts looking around and says, you know what? I need to be with another class of people. As one pastor told me one time, he says, man, when I quit preaching against sin, I started getting doctors and lawyers. And there's nothing wrong with doctors and lawyers if they're doing right by God. But I'm going to tell you something. He basically said it put us in a different economic class. He came out and showed me his truck. He said, you see that truck? I got that because I quit preaching on sin, man. I quit preaching on modesty and standards. And so what happens is you get that money and you start answering people roughly. You start being harder with people. And then pretty soon you say, you know what, I got to find a different church. You're riding an ass. You're riding an ass of pride. And you're going to get it hung up in a tree somewhere. It's going to lead to vanity and your own destruction. Can you be prospered and stay humble? The Bible says, the poor use entreaties, but the rich answereth roughly. Why is that? Not all rich, but that's a general truth. You put some money in a man's hand, he starts acting different. Not all men, praise God, not all men. Praise Jesus, not all men. With God, all things are possible. With God, you can be blessed, you can be smart, you can have light, you can have opportunities, and you can stay faithful with God. As long as you seek humility, ask God for humility, walk in humility, and practice humility. Because pride is what the devil uses to neutralize you. Pride is the ass he wants you to get on, to take you to your destruction so you won't serve God the way you could be. I tell you, old Mordecai said to Esther, you need to do what you can right now, Queen Esther, to save your people. And how do you know that God did not put you here as queen for this very moment? Of course God put her there for that very moment. To save the people. To save the Jews. It could have been easy for Queen Esther to say, do you know who I am? How dare you come here and embarrass me? In fact, that's really what she was doing for a little while. Praise God, she came to her senses by the rebuke and admonition of Mordecai. And she says, okay, though I die, I will go do this thing. Pray for me, fast for me. I'm going to go use where I'm at. Use my place and opportunity for the people of God. There's a principle in the Bible that you better use it or get it taken away. And using it for God means to use it with what He cares about. His church, operating in God's church. Use it or lose it. In fact, Jesus is coming again to reckon with you to see how you used everything, all the light, all the knowledge, all the money, all the time, all everything, and see how you used it for Him. And He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful in little things, things that are least. What does He do? He gives you more riches in the next kingdom. He gives you a promotion. But what if you keep prospering all the way till death? What if you don't get anything taken away as far as income? You'll definitely get light taken away. That's not absolute proof of God's approval. See, when you deal with the devil, you get your portion, your season. Now, in the end, you're going to call the devil a liar, and you're going to feel cheated. I remember that wicked, blasphemous comedian that had a Pentecostal father as a preacher, Sam Kinison or whatever his name was, blasphemous. He was a backslidden Pentecostal fella, and he found out he can blaspheme God, and he could be dirty and wicked, and he could do it even more than the world. So he got to be popular. He got to be on top of the world, got to be on the Tonight Show or whatever it was at the time. And all of a sudden, he's out here drinking. He gets in a car wreck somewhere in California, and God allowed him to be alive just for a little while. And I don't remember his exact words, but I tell you what, he was arguing with the devil for a little while. He's like, it's not fair. It didn't last long enough. It just wasn't fair. Hey, the devil's saying, I gave you what you asked for. My own friend shot in the head at a club after being on top of the world. Hey, the devil's a liar, man. The devil is a dirty liar. Even if you keep your money to the end, it's going to be vanity, vanity, vanity. You're going to say, what good is it if I'm going to die? God says, thou fool, I'm requiring your life right now, this brief life. Not only that, you got to live Even when Satan's allowing you to prosper, you got to live with the guilt. You got to live with the conviction. You got to try to hide your guilt. You got to try to numb the pain. Listen to Romans 16. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. Paul's telling the church, hey, she's on fire for God, man. She's doing a lot. Take your gifts and get behind her, and whatever she needs, you assist her. She's got something going on for God. You say, well, I don't know what I'm gifted. Hey, find somebody doing something for God in the church and help them. And you just might find your gift come alive. You might make that person way more able to help others. The Bible says, Matthew 10, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. That is, if you help the prophet, you get, in whatever way you can, you get the prophet's reward. He that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Everybody's sitting around saying, well, I want to be this, I want to be that, I want to be the quarterback, I want to be this, I want to be that. Hey, the Bible's saying you all get blessed the same. You all get blessed the same if you give whatever you're able, if you do whatever you're able, if you get plugged in and use what God has given you. Now somebody's going to say, I've stayed on this mule for a long time, and I agree with you, I know where it's headed. I've stayed on this ass of pride and self-fulfillment, and I know where it's headed. It's headed to my destruction. What should I do? Man, jump off. You say it's too late, man. I've been riding it for so long. No, jump off. Jump off. God hadn't come yet. You're not dead yet. Jump off that ass. Jump off that mule before you get hung up in the tree. Before you end up in destruction. Ephesians 5 says, see, then that you walk circumspectly, that is always watching, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Don't get off on some mule somewhere, headed toward pride, self-fulfillment. I'm going to go over here and serve myself. I'm going to go over here and do this. Why are you giving your time, your talent, your skill, your money? Why are you giving it to Satan, man? Why are you giving it to some worldly church? What does it mean to redeem the time? For a moment, let's listen to an expert on time. She says, Kamala Harris, who likes to vote to kill babies and vote for children to be mutilated, she says, I think it's very important for us at every moment in time, and certainly this one, to see the moment in time in which we exist and are present, to be able to contextualize it, to understand where we exist in the history and in the moment as it relates not only to the past, but the future. Man, she is an expert on time. Do you know what she said? I don't. There's her school bus. Anyway, that's something else. Kamala Harris, the governor and I, we were all doing a tour of the library here and talking about the significance of the passage of time. Right. I'm not going to laugh like her. The significance of the passage of time. So when you think about it, there is great significance to the passage of time in terms of what we need to do to lay these wires, what we need to do to create these jobs. And there is such great significance to the passage of time when we think about a day in the life of our children. I'm not where she is when it comes to being to give you a discourse on time. But let me tell you, in my humble opinion, what this means when it says redeem the time. Redeem means to buy back or ransom or recover by purchase, to take, to buy, to gain, to procure. So how do you redeem the time? Well, first of all, you've already lost a lot of time, man, being on that mule. You've already lost a lot of time serving self. So you got to try to get back the time that you've lost. How do you do that? There's only one way to do it. You got to run faster in the present. I tell you what, if you've been sleeping on a race and you've lost time, the only way you can get it back is by running faster than everybody else. So if you've wasted time, you better be on super red hot fire, man. We all should be, because we've all wasted a lot of time. We've all rode asses almost to our destruction. Asses of pride and self-pity. And I'm going to tell you, you can try to make up for lost time. And what about present time? You can rescue it from satanic use. You could say, right now, I am not going to give my time to Satan. I'm not going to give my talents. I'm not going to give my resources and my opportunities. And I'm going to tell you something, you can rescue future time because you got judgment coming. And you can say, no, I'm not going to stand before that judgment and have the Lord call me an unprofitable servant. No, I'm not going to stand at that judgment and have Him tell me that I wasted everything He put in my hand, that I wasted the truth, I've wasted the light, I've wasted my opportunities sitting around serving self. No, we're going to redeem the time, past time, present time, future time. Let me read to you from an old Puritan as we begin to close. William Gurnall, who died in 1679, Christian in complete armor, he says, first, pride of gifts is the cause why we do so little good with them to others. Secondly, why we receive so little good from the gifts of others. The humble man may have Satan at his right hand to oppose him, but be sure the proud man shall find God Himself there to resist him. I tell you what, you walk in pride, you're going down, buddy. Consider, while thou art priding in thy gifts, thou art dwindling and withering in thy grace. God will not suffer such a weed as pride to grow in His garden without taking some course or other to root it up. If God's honor be in danger through thy pride, then expect a rod. And most likely the affliction shall be in that which will be the most grievous to thee and the thing that thou art proud of. I'm telling you, Absalom was proud of his royal mule. He was proud of his handsome head. He was proud of his glorious feminine girly locks. I tell you what, and he died by him. God smote him by that mule, by that head, and by that hair. Let's jump off these mules. Let's jump off these asses. Some of my children were recently in a fire as the house burned, and they were okay. Praise God for that. They had to run outside the house. It's burning. Hey, you know this whole world is burning? The Lord's going to destroy it by fire, not by water. Everything you see is going to burn. You better hold on loosely to the things of this world. Because any moment, God can take away your gifts. God can take away your money. God can take away your opportunity. And He might not give you any more opportunity. It might be over for you. I'm begging you, stay off the mule of pride and self-pity. Stay off the mule of getting your feelings hurt. Stay off that mule of, because the devil has one goal, and that is that everything that you have, all of those gifts, all of those blessings will be used for him, and you will be neutralized and not be in the place that he wants you to be. That is, God wants you to be. Dear Holy Father, we thank you. Forgive us for wasted time, God. Forgive us for wasted talent. Forgive us for wasted gifts. Forgive us for wasted opportunities. Forgive us for the mules that we've ridden almost to our own destruction. Forgive us, Lord, for the asses that we've been on, Lord. Got our feelings hurt. Got our pride hurt. And just destroyed ourselves to some degree, like Ahithophel. Dear God, I do pray that you wake up your people. That you cause everyone to be red hot for you, Lord. I know you look at this whole time that we're in as just a little thing for a little while. But Lord, there are sacrifices that we're called to make. May we stay rooted and planted in your church. May we stay rooted and planted, linked to one another, that we may help one another when our brother falls or our sister falls, that we might encourage them, Lord. God, be with those that have been distracted and riding a mule somewhere, I know not where. Be with those, Lord, that are somehow or another not in your local church, a red hot Bible preaching church, Lord. Be with those that have their money elsewhere, Lord, funding the things of this world. To what? To what end, Lord? Now we thank you for your mercy that we're still here, Lord. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for what you've given us. May we roast that which we've taken in hunting, Lord. In Jesus' holy name, amen.